Give somebody a social distance high five. Hallelujah. Morning. Coastal, yay for us. Great to have you all here with us. Juan and Jenny's in the house. Woo! Wow. What's it? 9 months? Hey? You guys been pregnant or something? 9 months away from us? Hallelujah. God have mercy. Juan goes like this. Yeah, mom's cooking. it's good to have you here. Vince and Debbie, it's great to have you with us. Vince came to me and he's got this need on his heart and he wants us to pray for him. And I want to do it as a congregation. And then afterwards, Vince, I want you to come and we want to pray. He has a friend he's in Texas and 29-year-old. His liver's failing. And she needs a miracle. And Vince, you're the vessel through which divine favor flows. The Bible says, go and lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. We want to stand with you and believe with you. And so, Father, we thank you. What's your name? Kayla, we announce your name before the King of Kings and before the Lord of Lords. Father, we thank you that the Spirit knows no distance. Father, we thank you. You sent your word and healed. Your word was Jesus. And everything that's named has to bow to the name of Jesus. And so, Father, this debilitating and failing liver, we speak to you in the name above all names, the name of Jesus. And we speak healing and wholeness and health. And we speak life to that body, my God. We speak life. We speak the Zoe life of God. Father, we thank you that the greater one indwells Vince as he goes and lays hands, that the quickening power of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, will also raise this precious lady in Jesus' name. And we say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. As you may notice, we do believe in healing in the house. Hallelujah. We believe in the Holy Ghost. We believe in the power of God. Hallelujah. So, firstly, Valerie sends her love, says thank you for the love, the food that you've delivered. I'm saying thank you, hallelujah. Saves me having to cook because I'm a bad cook. I can do breakfast and I can do barbecues, but I can wash up dishes, but the rest is dangerous. So we kind of just want to say thank you. Thank you for the loving messages, the cards, the e-cards and all that has come. And to be honest, Valerie is in pain. Her foot is in pain. And if she takes pain meds, she gets violently sick. So she says, listen, either pain or nausea and vomiting, she says, I'll take the pain. So she's been awake since 3 o'clock this morning. She was going to try and come to church. I said, nah, not a good day today. Especially when she's learning to drive on that one little knee thing.
Oh.
It's quite dangerous to watch her do that around the house. But hallelujah. Coastal, it's a great day to be alive. I tell you what, hey. I already sense the Spirit of God wants us to get up and go. He wants us to get up and go. And I have a title of the message, which I'll announce at the end of the service of next week's message, which I hope will put a fire under us. Amen. Fire under us. Just one other thing. I got a folder back in the Connect Corner that I bought. And in there is voting application forms. There's 30 million Christians that are not registered to vote. Please, let it not be one of us in the sound of my voice that are not registered to vote. I've come from nations that, you do this disservice for your future and a generation's future. If you don't get into a place and you have a say, you have a nation and you have a say, please have a say. The form's there. Haven't even have envelopes. You can put it in there and just drop it in the mail and we'll be grateful that you'll be registered to vote. So just kind of wanted to throw that out to you. New day. Remember, we've been announcing new day. We've been taking up an offering and been giving everybody an opportunity. I had a figure in mind that I wanted to, because when she comes and she travels, she goes to three different places. Here, she goes to Carolinas and then she goes to Chicago. And there's families that kind of help Lenny support the new day. But this COVID thing has locked her down in the UK. No moving. And says, Rod, what do? I said, well, you've come, I think, 12 times to Coastal. I think you got enough credit in the bank for us just to announce and tell them that you're again needing us to support them. And you've done great, fantastic, but I just want a little bit more. Because her whole normal amount that she normally gets when she travels is about $10,000 when she gets from these three different churches. Coastal alone is at 6.5. So I'm trying to get to 10 to bless her so that she'd be totally surprised that one from one church, instead of three churches, one church, she can get a full budget to help her, help people be fed, help people be trained. So can we find 35 people that will maybe just give $100 and we can just get 35 more 100 and we can get that? If not, I'm going to dig into our emergency fund or something. But I'm telling you what, I want to be able to send that amount out there because lives are so desperate and more desperate than ever before. And we want to be a blessing because we're the vessels through which divine favor flows, preventing misfortune in the lives of others. I just thought I'd throw that out there. And so I'm looking forward to telling her how much we're sending her. And she'll be ecstatic, locked up in a little apartment in England and can't get back to the needy people that need her prayer and her love in South Africa. So, hallelujah. We have Barry, who has been blessing us with Barry's Bible study. I asked Barry, I said, listen, I'm going to have to play home kit this week. And we've got visitors coming. I'm just not going to be able to focus on preaching the word. And he said, don't worry, I've got a word. So, he's been brewing on this little word, and I want you to kind of brace yourself because here you go. Come on up here. Rachel, thank you for playing. Thank you for being. Barry has pastored, has ministered, has had great love for the word for years. And he's one of those teachers that just read the scriptures, and it comes out profound. I read the same scripture, and I can't see what he sees. He's just one of those gifted teachers. And so, Father, thank you. Thank you as Barry comes and as he just yields his gift as a teacher and as a minister of the word to bring a word to us that our hearts are prepared, that we are ready and good soil, ready to be receive the word of God, which it comes and will richly be deposited in our hearts and return 100-fold. Yes. And so we may walk in it. And we thank you for that. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Barry. Take your liberty, brother.
Thank you. Good morning. I don't know whether it's good to build me up like that. I don't know. Maybe not able to reach that. Okay. So, but we'll do our best. I did have that name right. Healing the Demonic. If you want to look it up in your Bibles on it's chapter 5 of Mark. Great story. It's got all the ingredients I like. It's scary. You know, there's drama. It's just a wonderful, wonderful story. Well, the chapter, fifth chapter, is just a great chapter. And what Mark wants to do with chapter 5, now there's other things that he does in there, but what he wants to do is to show that Jesus is Lord over the demons. Thank you. That's good. Yeah. He is Lord over disease. When he heals the woman with the issue of blood in there. And he is Lord over death. Because he raises the little girl at the end of the chapter, Jairus' daughter, as a neat way of telling those stories. But we'll be looking at the demonic. Okay, I think I'm just fascinated with this story of the demonic. I'm just fascinated with it. So if you'll indulge me, I'll play along with it. Okay, but I think too, it's because I felt crazy a lot of times. I think that's part of it. Yeah. I've been called crazy. Yes, I get that. Never diagnosed crazy, which is good. That's good. So, but, in one time I preached on this text and I preached the sermon, Who's Crazy Now? Which I really did like that sermon. Had a great message. You know, when Jesus gets there, Everybody knows who's who and what's what when Jesus arrives. The crazy man, oh yeah, he's among the tombs. He cries out. He cuts himself with rocks. He's dangerous. He won't wear any clothes. Yeah. So he's unsociable. And so it's, well, it's easy. He's crazy. And the sane people are the ones tend the hogs and take care of business and that kind of thing. Okay. But Jesus arrives. Jesus arrives. And he comes to Jesus. And then when we get down, the demon possessed is in his right mind. We have that text, 5:15. Where the demon-possessed guy is sitting there, calmly, we might say, dressed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And then, verse 17, then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. I ask you, who's crazy now? I mean, that's crazy to ask Jesus to leave. Right? So I asked that question, text, okay, who's crazy now? We'll take a little bit different look at it. This man was filled with demons, and he runs to Jesus, and we have that text, verse 6. He comes running out of the tombs. Now, this is important. Now, he comes running out of the tombs, and he's running to Jesus. Now, you would think that the demons would want to stay away from Jesus. By the way, I don't have any answers for these things, okay? But I don't. Yeah, but you would think. But what he runs to Jesus, okay? He comes out of the tombs again. It's important. Now he comes out of the tombs, and he runs to Jesus. He comes right and. Then he says this to Jesus, Mark 5:7, and he shouted at the top of his voice. That's scary right there, you know, like Jesus is hard hearing or something. Shouts at the top of his voice. And I don't have an answer for what he, first thing he says is, what do you want with me? I wrestled with that, trying to understand how. The only thing I can get is, let me try to use an inflection of my voice. What would he want with me? I wonder if that's what he says. I'm not sure. Now, the next phrase is the demons are saying they know who Jesus is. Jesus, Son of God. In Mark, every time the demons show up, they know who Jesus is. Okay, but then the last one says, don't torture me. I try to understand who's, you know, is a demon saying that, you know? You would think if they were afraid of that, they would have stayed in the tombs. But, so I don't know. I just don't know, unless he's so used to being tortured by people. Where they put chains on him and shackle him, and he's used to being tortured maybe by people. Matter of fact, he doesn't need anybody to torture him. He tortures himself. Because he cuts himself with rocks and he screams at night and howls at the moon and that kind of thing. What do you want with me? Could it be that he's got a moment of clarity here to come to Jesus? A moment of presence of mind maybe to make his way? I'm not sure, but he does make his way to Jesus. And Jesus cast out the demons in this man. He had the presence of mind to do that. And wow, what a dramatic transformation this man has. Because the wild man screaming out of the tombs runs to Jesus, and in the next frame we see him sitting, dressed in his right mind and wanting to follow Jesus physically. What a transformation he makes. The interaction with Jesus, somehow transform this man's life. And that's what I want us to delve into this morning. I feel that is what Jesus did for me. I feel that my life is enormously better because of my transactions with Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus didn't just save my soul, cleanse and make me whole. He saved my entire life. And my life is enormously better because of Jesus Christ in my life than it ever would have been or could have been without Him. And I want us to kind of look at that. And I want to go to John 10:10 now to see that this is actually the purpose of Jesus for every one of us. You see, Jesus has come that we might have life. Yes. But not just that, but do what? Yeah, I got the King James in my mind, and sometimes because I memorized a lot of this in the King James. He has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly, is the way the King James has it. So not only does He want you to live, He wants you to live to the full. Your relationship with Him can and will make your life so enormously better than it ever could have been or would have been without Him. So I'm going to look at three things that He does. The madman, the demonic. Three things in which happens to him, and maybe we can kind of get that for ourselves, okay? All right, number one, he crosses over from death to life. Yes, he does. Somewhere, I don't know where, but somewhere between the tombs, now the tombs are a picture of what? Death. Dead people are among the tombs. Amen? Somewhere between the tombs and Jesus Christ and his interaction with Jesus, that man crossed from death to life. From somewhere, where that line is, I'm not sure. But you may know it for yourself. Yet he crossed from death into life. Many ways our culture is fascinated with death. I'll give you a couple of examples. Number one, how about The Walking Dead? I never was part of that. I couldn't really get into that. My problem with that is I couldn't figure out how to kill something that's already dead. It was a problem for me, so I just didn't mess with it anymore, okay? So, how about zombies? Yeah. How about, I know the whole goth thing really throws me for a loop. You know what I mean? They dress like the dead, you know. Instead of wearing red lipstick, wear black lipstick. What's that about? Looking like the dead. Anyway, yeah, they're fascinated with it. In the 70s, I was pastoring my first church and went to a book fair. By the way, my first call was to preach the gospel. My second call was to become a pastor. Oh, did that change everything, huh? Am I right? Oh, boy, that changed everything. First thing I knew is, man, I need an education. And I was getting one, too. Okay. Yeah. So I'm at this book fair, and I mean, there's just tables and tables of books out there, and I'm rummaging through there. And I picked up this book called Man Against Himself by Carl Menninger. Excellent book. I wouldn't read it unless you're really feeling up because it's a real downer. It is. You know. But some of life is down here. You got to figure it out. Okay. So, and I'm not sure why I picked it up. It might be because I read his book, Whatever Became of Sin, which was he wanted to keep the idea of sin in the culture and keep being able to talk about it, because if you did, then you could talk about forgiveness, which sometimes forgiveness is the only cure. And maybe that's neither here nor there. But in this book, Man Against Himself, guess what the first chapter is? Eros, Thanatos, life and death. And he put those two together. And of course, his argument is not to be on the side of death, but to be on the side of life. In John 11, here Jesus is going to go raise Lazarus from the dead. I love that chapter. Wow, is that fun to read. And Jesus knows exactly what he's doing. But the disciples, they don't. They're very often like us. They don't have a clue. Yeah. They don't even know what's going on. They don't suspect anything's going on. That's just where they're at, okay? And so they're trying to figure Jesus out. They don't want him to go because he's afraid they're going to kill him there. And then Thomas comes out with this. Thomas says, let us go that we may die with him. I guess he thinks that's courageous. I guess that's what he thinks. Jesus doesn't want you to go die with him. He wants you to go live with him. Amen. You got to get that down pat. You see how mistaken Thomas is here? He wants you to live and not die. Wants you to cross over from death to life. Amen? In Deuteronomy 30, when down at the end of the ministry of Moses, there comes this great declaration that Moses and God wants to give to the people. This day I call heavens and earth as a witness against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Now choose life. It's a choice you need to make very often on a daily basis. You can choose life or you can choose death. And if you don't know the difference, you start praying today that God will reveal and that you'll stop being against yourself. Amen? Amen. One more before we leave this idea, okay? Just one more. And that's in the book of Acts, chapter 16. Love chapter 16. Just love it. Gospel goes to Europe for the first time. Wow. First person saved in Europe, woman. You like that? Ah, yes! Yes! Lydia. Love Lydia. Amen? So they get thrown in jail. Paul and Silas get thrown in jail. That's a great story. Great story. And, of course, we know that the gospel can never be barred up. No. Can never. The truth can never be put in a cell and kept. Cannot. So here comes an earthquake and opens the cell, turn them loose. They didn't leave. They didn't leave. And the jailer was going to kill himself on mistaken facts. He thought they had left. They hadn't left. They're there. But he's going to do what? Commit suicide. For what reason? No reason whatsoever except his own mistaken understanding of reality. Huh? Yes. And he was, I don't know what he's going to do. He's going to fall on his sword or something. Drew a sword. How do you kill yourself with a sword? I mean, gee, this is ugly, gruesome stuff. And what does Paul say? I got it in the King James, okay? Paul shouts from the back where they can't see him, do yourself no harm. Man, is that great advice. Stay on the side of life. Never mind death. Stay on the side of life and do not lend your members as this jailer was going to death. Amen? All right. Second thing. I don't know. We're going out slow here, I guess. All right. Okay. Last church I was at, when they called me, and the pastoral group was talking with me, they called me to be, they said, now you can preach as long as you want, okay, but we're going to go home at 11. I tell that on it. That's not true. It isn't true. I tell it on, but it isn't true. All right. Second thing that this man did is he developed a new identity. And that's what you have to do when you come to Jesus. You have to develop a new identity. He no longer is a demon-possessed. He no longer is a guy who howls from the tombs and can't get any rest at night. He no longer is that person. He has changed now. And 1 John, I just love this text. I just love this text. See what great love the Father has lavished on us. See, He doesn't just love us. He indulges us with His love. He just what? Lavished on us. Get a double helping. Yeah. Well, take three. Go ahead. It's fine. He lavished on us, okay? And what are we? That we should be called the children of God. That's our identity now, that we are the children of God. And that is what we are. That's who we are. We're no longer this or that. We are God's children. That's who we are. So you develop that identity in yourself. Make sure that you work on that, developing that identity in yourself. You're not that other person over there anymore. You are now God's child. I don't know when I came to this, but I believed in this. And when my kids got older, you know, when they maybe take the car and go someplace, I really only had one question for them. And I would ask them this: do you know who you are? Because you will act consistently out of who you think you are. That's how you act. That's where your acts come from. Who you think you are. Now, if you think you're a child of God, you're going to act in a certain way. Yes, you will. You are no longer a product of the world, but you now are a new creation. I think that is in 2 Corinthians. You now are a new creation. And you need to act like that new creation. And you will act like that new creation if you get it down pat for yourself. You no longer are that ignorant individual. You're no longer that lost individual. You are a child of God. And it's wonderful. Now, that's worked out in dramatic ways in the Bible. That we can see that, okay? In Numbers, I love this. I realized this pastor here knew something. When I came to church one Sunday, I can't remember whether it was in a sermon or not. You might not even remember saying this, okay? And he says, it was almost easy to get the children, the Hebrew people, out of Egypt. But it would take 40 years for God to get Egypt out of the Hebrew children. I knew he knew something when he said that. Because we're talking about self-identity. When they leave Egypt, who are they? They're the slaves of Pharaoh. That's who they are. And they need to change and become the children of God. Amen. Now it will take them 40 years to do that. But we're going to read this in chapter 33. We're just 2 years out now. They're just traveling in the desert, just 2 years out. And they're traveling the desert. They come up to the edge of the promised land. And this is the land God gave them. This is the promises of God. And they send spies in to spy out the land and check it out. Just 2 years out. And so they send the spies in and they look at the land and they come back with a report. And the report, well, for two of them, it was great. And these are the only two names you probably need to remember as Joshua and Caleb. And they said what? We're ready. We are able. God is on our side. Let's go. Now, the other 10, not so much. What do they say? We saw the Nephilim there. Now, Nephilim are giants. And what? We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes and looked the same to them. That's a psychological projection there. The only way you'd know what they look like is if you asked the Nephilim, but we didn't get them. We don't have their word here. We only have this group here. Now, what's their identity? Let me see here. Let's go over this again. What's their identity? Grasshoppers. That's what they feel like. And that's who they are. They're like grasshoppers. Well, grasshoppers don't inherit the promises of God. They just don't. Chickens eat grasshoppers. I thought that was really funny. I thought that was... Maybe you got to be a farm boy to get that. I don't know. But they don't... Now, if you feel like grasshoppers, what are you going to act like? Grasshoppers. Now, it'll take them 38 years from there to get the grasshoppers out. I'm going to do one more story. One more Bible story, okay? I want you to see this in action. Because you need this for yourself. You need to develop that identity of being the child of God and actually how the child of God works and acts on this earth. That's what we need. Okay? And the next one is in Joshua. Joshua. It's a little bit gruesome, okay? But it's a different time, right? Yeah, it's a little gruesome, okay? But it's a different time. Now, they're in the land and they're taking over everything, running everybody out. You don't run, you will kill you. You know, I mean, and they had five kings, and they put the kings in a cave, and then at the right time, they bring the five kings out, and Joshua has all his generals lined up there, and he tells his generals, "I want you to come and put your foot on the neck of the king." Now, why would he do that? Why would Joshua do that? Why would he have them go through that exercise? Because he wants his generals to know that they are not slaves of Egypt anymore. They are God's children, and God's children put their foot on the necks of kings. For we are more than conquerors. He wants them to learn that lesson. Now you need to learn that lesson for yourself. That you are more than conquerors. Last point I'll get to it here is we need to develop a new mind. Okay? We'll recap a little bit. He needs to pass from death unto life. And he needs to change his identity into being a child of God. And he needs to develop a new mind. I thought that was a great icon. I don't know where that picture came from, but these people that are working on this high-tech stuff, you really do a great job, huh? Don't they? It's all new for me. It's brand new for me. I wake up in a new day every day. So this is all new for me. Okay. In Mark 5, I'm sorry, Mark's 5:15, Mark 5:15, I want you to see that he's in his right mind now. You see, when they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the demons, by the legion of demons. By the way, legion is usually 6,000. He doesn't know who he is. It's just 6,000 of me in here. What? Okay. But who is he now? Who is he now? Child of God. Pretty simple, eh? All right. So legion sitting there. Notice what's his posture? He's all calmed down. He's all calmed down. And he's what? Dressed. He's socially appropriate now. Amen. That's great. It's great. And he's in his right mind. If he's in his right mind now, he must have been in his wrong mind before, right? Well, sure. I mean, it only makes sense. You can't have right without wrong. You can't have wrong without right. They go together. Oh, and just a little note here. How were the people responding to him? There are some people that will be afraid, and they are afraid, and they will be afraid. No, you'll see that time and time again, especially in the text, if you follow along, you know. They're afraid of the man because he has demons. Now they're afraid of him because he doesn't. How's that work? And by the way, how's that working out for you? Is that working out good? Yeah. But he's in it. He needs a new mind. And with that new mind, he wants to follow Jesus. Later, he'll try to physically follow Jesus. Jesus tell him no. You know, you stay home and tell what good things the Lord has done for you. You need to learn to think properly. Not only do you have a new identity, you need to learn to think. In Philippians 4:8, he says, whatsoever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy, think about such things as that. In other words, put your thoughts through this sieve. And if they don't meet that sieve, scratch them off and stop them. I know, all the mics, we've been working on this, trying to switch on our brains forever. I haven't found the switch yet, but if you guys help me, maybe I'll find it, okay? I've been working on it. All right. But our exercise this week was to write. So, well, we'll see how I do with that. Okay. Romans 12, 1 and 2, which is the number one on this thinking and that kind of thing. I want you to hear in 12, 1 and 2, where he actually asked the people to do something other than believe. Okay, this is the first time in the book of Romans he asked the people to do something other than just believe. Okay, therefore, I urge you, brothers, by the view of God's mercy, to do what? Offer your bodies a living sacrifice. If you have never done that, you need to do that sometime. Not just officially, for yourself, between you and God. You need to just stand before him and say, here I am. And you're giving yourself to God in some form. A living sacrifice. Holy and pleasing to God, which is what? Your true and proper worship. That's really worship when you do that. When you say, here I am, Lord. And don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Stop letting the world form you and shape you and mold you. Okay? That's over with. That's over with. But then be what? Transformed. Transformed. And how are you transformed? By learning to think differently. Your life will be transformed. By learning to think differently. And when you do this, when you give yourself to God, present your body, present yourself to God, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable and pleasing to God, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Guess what? You discover what the Lord's will is, or what God's will is, and it is what? Good, pleasing, and perfect. And you can only get there by the path that we've just described. Presenting yourself, not conformed to this world, but when your mind is transformed, you'll discover how wonderful God's will for your life is. This man we're talking about thought for him to be able to follow Jesus. And I get that. And Jesus says, no, that's not the purpose. That's not the will for you. The will for you is to go home and tell your family what great things the Lord has done for you and the mercy He has had on you. Amen? So now we've come to the end of this. And by the way, thank you. I've had a lot of fun doing this with you. Cross over, though. Make sure that you go from death to life. Cross that line. Wherever that line is for you, cross that line. Get on the side with Jesus. Okay? Second, work on your identity. Know that you are a child of God and work on that. Your future depends on it. And learn to think differently. Be transformed because you are thinking differently. John 10:10 again says that He has come that you might have life and have it to the full. I don't know what that means for you. I'm getting some idea what that means for myself. But I want you to know that God wants you to not only be alive. You can't get here, by the way, any other way. God's creation brought you here. But He not only wants you to be alive, He wants you to live that life to the fullest. And God bless you as you do that. Pastor, you want to close?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What did I tell you?
The man reads that scripture and I said, what?
Always illustrated like I drive backwards and forwards from my home P section to here multiple times a week. And every time, I will find something different. I will see something different. That's what the Word of God's like.
Amen.
It's rich. And so, yeah, there's that demoniac clothed in his right mind, wants to follow Jesus because that's what you want to do, follow life. And what is life tell him to do? He says, no, you need to stay here and tell him what Jesus, what's happened to you. And he goes on, minister to the 10 villages or the 10 towns in his area. And I guarantee you he had a reputation in that area. I think that the news of him and his life in the tombs was known, but his life in Christ was more greater known after that. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Barry. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise the Lord. So much in that. There's so much, and I really would love you to ponder on it and be aware of it. And some have heard the message and have heard Jesus' message come through town many times. But maybe you've never got out the tombs and gone to life. You've never made that journey and said, listen, I want life.
Amen.
And run to life. The invitation is constantly there. I say, well, Jesus, this whole Jesus message is very exclusive. No, it's very inclusive.
Yes.
Whosoever will come. And so if that is you in your heart and you're saying, listen, I really want to come to that place where life is part of me. And Jesus comes And it comes by invitation. And so if you want to RSVP the invitation today, we want to pray as a church out loud and invite him into your life. Present your body and say, Jesus, take the wheel. And when he comes, you'll get to know him. He's not going to just barge in. You'll get to know him. You'll get to love him. You'll get to see how, just by loving him, your life starts transforming from the inside out. I'm talking about 40 years of that happening in my life. So if that's you, and if it's in the sound of my voice and watching live stream, just pray with me. It's basically just your heart cry, inviting him into your life. So church, would you just pray with me? Say, Jesus.
Jesus,
I believe that you're the Son of God.
You're the Son of God.
And you died on that cross for me.
You died on that cross for
me. Paid for my sins.
You paid for my sins.
And today you present forgiveness.
And today you present forgiveness.
To me. Today I reach out and I take that forgiveness. And I say thank you for forgiving me. And today with my mouth and with my heart, I invite you into my life. Would you journey with me? Would you teach me?
Teach me.
And thank you for your love.
Thank you for your love.
In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You've just taken a step into the kingdom of God, because whosoever will, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You want to sing something for us, my darling? And then I'll pray for everybody. Hallelujah.
I'm no longer a slave to fears. I am a child of God. And I'm no longer a slave to fear. No, I'm not. I am a child of God. 'Cause I'm no longer I am a child of God. 'Cause I'm no longer a slave to fear. 'Cause I am a child of God. 'Cause I am. Oh, I am a child of God. Yes, I am. Oh, I am a child of God.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Well, I'll ask you to stand, if you would. I want to pray for you. And Vince, I will meet you afterwards. Hallelujah. Next week, I'm going to preach. I don't know if it's a series. I never know what happens with God when he starts. But when I was standing here last week, I was actually standing right in this spot here. Kind of sense the Holy Spirit say, will you sail in the storm?
Amen.
So I'm going to preach in that next week.
Amen.
Because there's stuff that's paralyzed us as the body of Christ and has caused us to stop sailing when there's a storm. And we got to stop this. We got to get our sails back out. We get our paddles back in the water. And in the storm, we need to sail. And I'll tell you what, we need to do that. And I want to give us equipment, tools from the Word of God that will pick us up from our bootstraps and let us sail.
Amen.
Storm or no storm, we are sailing to the other side. Amen. So I'm going to preach that next week. So if you guys get into a habit of watching online and really like your double bed and watching from the double bed and that kind of stuff, I really would encourage you. There's some seats here that we'd love to have your sweet face and your sweet presence here.
Amen.
And social Amen. Distance that side as well. We'll hide you in the corner here. We'll hide you anywhere here just so we can see your face. Get out of the habit of just hanging out there because I want you to start sailing in the storm. Amen. Yeah, yeah. Coastal family, because we can hang out. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray for you, dismiss you. If you need prayer, if you're standing up here anywhere here, we'll pray for you. We'll anoint you with oil. But Yes Coffee's got some great coffee ready for us. And remember, new day. I want to send a $10,000. Okay? I want to for the lives that need it. Father, thank you. Yay for us that we are clothed and we are in our right mind.
Amen.
And we have a testimony that you are good.
Yeah,
and you're good all the time. And so, Father, we go out with shouts of joy, shouts of praise, shouts of thanksgiving, because we serve a good, good God. And so, Father, our identity is in you. Our love is in you. And so, Father, we announce your goodness and greatness with our lives and everything we say and do. And I release this family to go out there and advance the kingdom of God, that light may come and darkness may flee. In Jesus' name, all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for joining us today.